Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
Very rock and roll.
It's the triplet echo.
We've got the delay. We're going to rock and roll all night long.
Long.
All night long. I got to work in the morning.
It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number in the studio, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. We're talking about stuff, but if you don't like what we're talking about, change the subject. It's up to you. 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's...
Steve Classic.
Miggy.
And I am your host.
And Captain.
And...
Who am I?
I don't know.
Okay. Nobody knows who I am. It's not important.
Captain.com.
CaptainKickass.com. Yeah, I wish I had Captain.com, but no.
You could.
No, I can't.
Probably $10 million.
Yeah, it's way too expensive. Yeah. Before we go on, I need to say thank you to JCOM3030, who is a member of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. This is a program where you can contribute some amount of money to help get this radio program onto more radio stations. If you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, and the topics that we bring, if you enjoy the subject matter, the perspective of peace, liberty, and prosperity that we come from, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. JCOM3030 is a diamond-level contributor, which means they give an absurd amount of money to us because they enjoy the program and want to see the message of freedom spread. So thank you to JCOM3030 for your contribution to this program. We can't do it without you. If you want to become an amplifier, visit amps.freetalklive.com. Thanks again, JCOM. We appreciate you. All right. When we last left our heroes, that's us, by the way.
Yikes.
Steve Classic, Mickey, yeah. And the Captain. Our heroes. We were talking to a supervillain known as Sarah from New Mexico.
I am considered a supervillain.
No.
Well, sure, why not?
Yeah.
You're just a regular villain?
I was at the... Well, it's amazing that, you know, how I'm doing this network marketing. And
yes, it is amazing, considering you're a communist doing a capitalist activity.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but it's just that I believe that it's a really good product,
why? All
environmental.
Why do you believe
natural,
that?
And natural, and it really helps people, and besides all that. So, and I went to the church, and I gave her a really beautiful makeup catalog and how great the foundation feels on my skin, and it's natural. And then people like ask me, do you get commissions? Do you make money off of this? Do you get something out of it? Well, I get loyalty dollars, and then they're like, oh. And they get very, very irate or very, very angry, or
yeah,
they want nothing to do with
Sarah,
it.
Because, Sarah, you're basically telemarketing, except you're doing it in person.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It's like, okay, so I'm getting something out of it, but... There's all these professions that really help people, like grocery stores. These are vital things, but they make money off of it.
Yeah, but
capitalism.
Yeah, but the grocery clerk isn't coming to your church and shoving groceries down your throat. You're going into shoving brochures and products into people's faces when they're trying to go to church and have some worship going on. They don't want to get pitched.
Here's some makeup.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So if I told them I went to the Chinese restaurant over there and it's got great food and I went, but as long as I'm not getting paid, they don't mind. But I went to the farmer's market. I found a whole bunch of charcoal soap and it's all organic. I was at the church talking about today. They didn't get mined. But they'll report me to the pastor, and they'll like shut me up if there's some kind of a money that I'm making from it, some kind of a referral fee.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying?
But wouldn't you take your money and give it back to the church? So why should they be upset?
If there's some dollar sign or something that I'm getting out of it because I'm telling them something. That's when it makes it bad. That's when they say I'm soliciting. But if I went to the farmer's market, they had kombucha tea and I had charcoal soap, all natural salve I got. Oh, they could let me blabber on forever as long as I'm not getting anything out of it. But the thing is that my whole point is, okay, teachers, fire persons, everybody that works at fast food, they get paid money. They're providing a great service. And they're getting reimbursed with money.
Okay.
But that's not considered a evil thing. A lot of people make
but,
money
but
doing
multi-level marketing is considered evil because people have lost absurd amounts of money engaging in multi-level marketing. So it has, just like telemarketing, it has a horrible reputation. There are a few organizations out there that are seemingly legitimate with their operation. If that is an organization that you wish to join, that is your choice. But you still have to deal with the reality that is that multi-level marketing, what you're engaged in, has a horrible reputation that rivals the horrible reputation that telemarketers have.
Is that almost like a pyramid scheme?
Yeah.
So, like, you're at the top and your friends are down at the bottom?
You've got a downline, and whoever signs up below you, you get a piece of that action. You know, and it sort of flows back
Okay, let's say it is a multi-level whatever network market. Okay, but so I was at the farmer's market, and I saw some, like, earthy kind of people, environmentals, like seven of them sitting down. So I told them, hey, have you heard about so-and-so products? It's really concentrated. We don't ship water. We put it in small plastic containers. It's environmental. It's all natural, and it's safe to clean around the hoses. And the first thing that came out of their mouth was, are you trying to sell me something? No, I told them, I'm just trying to tell you something. I'm not trying to sell you something, because if I'm selling you something, I would have the product with me, and I would want you to give me money for an exchange of it. I'm not selling you something. I'm just trying to tell you something. And he says, no, get on by. I'm not interested. You know, the moment they figure that you have some kind of a commission or some kind of money involved,
Welcome to the field of sales. I mean, this is how sales works. You bump into people, you try and sell them a thing, and they go, oh, no, I don't want any of that. And you go, okay, and you move
next.
On. Yeah, next.
Like telemarketing.
Sales is a numbers game, right? The only other way for you to handle the situation is to learn how to overcome their objections. If you could do that successfully, perhaps they will engage in whatever it is you're trying to get them to engage in. But either way, it's sales.
Well, it's like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the people that knock on your door. They're soliciting. Like, the majority of people don't, if they're just hanging out, you know, minding their own business, they don't want you to come up to them and convert. You know, people don't want to be converted to a religion. They don't want to be sold products. They're just, if they wanted that, they would seek you out. I think there needs to be a balance. And, of course, in sales, you know, it's a good idea to kind of put yourself out there and, you know, do marketing and advertising. But there needs to be a balance where it's not like,
yeah. Having done some sales, Sarah, some sales in my life, I can tell you what you're bumping into, and it's something called your shark teeth are showing, right? Now, this is a term that is in sales. Other salespeople have heard it before. There are two types of salespersons. There are sharks and there are farmers, right? What you're doing is the equivalent of cold calling, which is a shark activity, a shark salesperson activity, and you do wish to engage them in whatever it is you're doing. And when you don't get your way with them, you get frustrated. That's because your shark teeth are showing. You're too eager. You're not solving a problem for these people. You're pitching them cold.
Well, the reason I pitched that farmers group, they're very environmental. They're all into recycling. Everything's organic and organic natural products. So that's all they have. So I go into this next bunch of group, and they were kind of welcoming me. I don't know. I went to the next set. Hey, did you hear about our environmental products, non-toxic? We have plant enzyme for stain removers, bleach alternative that doesn't have, we don't have ammonia and Clorox. We're in they kind of listened to me, and they actually took my card. And then I told them to go onto the website and you research the company. And the next batch was kind of more friendly, and they were interested. But my introduction was, by the way, I'm the advertisement for so-and-so company. I'm the advertisement. I'm the commercial. I'm also a customer. The customers are the advertisement.
So Sarah,
they're like,
Sarah,
that's nice.
Sarah, do you have little samples that you can give out, like little mini soaps or mini shampoos or whatever you're selling?
Well,
if you're engaging with someone, like, you know, you get it, like, here, this is one. Just try this. You'll love it. Here's free.
That's what the drug dealers do.
Right. So you want some
fentanyl? Oh, yeah, no, I do that all the time.
You get a little bump? Right.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been doing that. So what I do is I save a little bit of our natural laundry soap that's real concentrated.
You put it in a little baggie, tie it up in a knot.
No, and I
leave
it in the container. What's special about this one is, like, the cheap ones is alkali. They tear up everything that they consider your fabric and the soil and the dirt as all of, they just eat everything up. And that's why you get holes in your clothes and it tears it up. So ours is targeted. They only go after the soils and the oil, and they leave the fabric alone.
It sounds like you're doing a little bit of multi-level marketing to us and the audience.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about the whole theme of it. I'm concerned about the quality of the product. That's what I'm trying to get to the people. Why?
You know what? I just had an epiphany. I know exactly what you need to do. You need to take this particular issue that you're calling and talking to us about here and take it to somebody upline from you and say, hey, here's what I'm bumping into. How do I, you know, get around this when I bump into this the next time? Because they'll be the ones best able to advise you, and thank you for the call tonight.
Seriously. Send us some samples. We'll, if it works, we'll...
Yeah, I don't want to see samples.
I'm good on that.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
Would you like to join my religion?
I mean, it could be a good product. Who knows? I don't know. She's really enthusiastic about it. You never know.
Give her
the best.
She might have better luck selling drugs.
She might.
People actually want that.
She could put that soap on a dollar bill and drop it somewhere, and like, oh, I'll just put it in my pocket and wash me.
All right, let's talk about something interesting, like the crack smoking city councilman. What was his name?
Matthew Riley. Yeah,
something. Yeah. Confronted with the evidence, Riley admits to a relapse. Wait, did I skip something? Upon questioning, Riley initially denies the presence of any drugs in his vehicle, statement that police later, you know, proved false. They reportedly discovered crack with fentanyl. Okay, so, confronted with the evidence, Riley admits to a relapse, citing a recent tough divorce as the trigger.
Oh, I'm a victim.
My wife left me, so I smoke crack.
Call a whambulance.
What is that, that episode of It's Always Sunny? Oh, did you get addicted to crack? Did somebody get addicted to crack?
But it's not personal woes that are at the heart of the matter, the article continues.
No.
It's the pressing issue of the fentanyl epidemic, a crisis that's tearing through communities.
I mean, yeah.
It could be the drug dealer who just doesn't like the councilman because he's raising taxes.
Irrespective of class or profession and creating disturbing scenes like this, where politicians are found unconscious with a crack pipe.
That's disturbing.
Yes, let's blame the drug, not the choice that the crackhead made.
Disturbing.
Everything's a choice, people. Everything's a choice. You have a choice. Now I'm going to get some, you know, former drug addict calling in. I didn't have a choice when I did drugs. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Every time you sparked it up. You had a choice.
There's a lot of talk about, like, the mental illness aspect. And not even mental illness, because I'm sure a lot of addicts also do have a history with mental
health. Absolutely, they do, yes.
But there's a lot of talk, like, oh, it's a disease. People really want it to be a disease because that takes away a lot of the responsibility.
Right.
And I think such an important aspect of getting clean and
recovery
is admitting
responsibility.
I made that choice and I have the powers, maybe whatever, if it's a disease or not, I think that's just technicalities.
Yeah.
But I had the choice and now I'm choosing to not do that anymore. I think the disease part kind of just takes away, you know,
I think the disease is associated so that insurance can pay for the treatment after.
Yeah.
It's not coming out of your pocket. Oh, I had a disease. Okay, then we'll treat the disease. Here's your stay at a rehab center or whatever.
And I can kind of see both sides of it, too, because I've had mothers who have lost children, you know, share with me, like, they felt really alone when their child overdosed and passed away.
Right.
And their perspective on it was kind of like, well, if my kid had cancer and died, everyone would be here for me, and they'd, you know, I would have more support, but since my child was an addict,
right,
they feel like a lot of shame and guilt, and there's so much stigma surrounding it that I don't know.
Yeah, it's a sticky wicket.
And the disease, if you never had access to alcohol, you would never become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Or a drug addict. If it was never there. So you can't catch the disease.
It's not a disease in that sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many layers of it. Like, it's a cultural thing. Societal. I mean, we see in lower income areas, there will be more drug use. It's just totally cultural.
Having been addicted to nicotine for a long, long time, it wasn't until my mind changed that I was able to quit.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew smoking cigarettes was bad. I knew that I was killing myself. I knew I was wasting my money. But I couldn't quit. Yeah. I tried everything. I tried Chantix. I tried the nicotine gum. I tried the patches. I got one of the first e-cigarettes that ever hit the market, so I could, like, be doing that instead of doing the smoking because I figured that was healthier. And no matter what I did, I could not quit.
I have a conspiracy theory.
The reason that I was able to quit was philosophy. I quit for philosophical reasons.
This is, I think, my conspiracy theory. Go ahead.
Okay. So I was going on a rant. I was at a show seeing a friend of mine's band. They had an area outside fenced in where you could have your drink and your cigarette at the same time. I'm out there, I'm talking to some people, and I'm doing, what we kind of do here, I'm ranting about how you're all slave to the government, right?
Yeah.
And my friend Mike overhears this, and he comes over and he goes, so you really don't like being a slave, or you don't like slavery at all, right? And I'm like, that's right. I hate it. He's like, well, you're R.J. Reynolds' slave. You're their bitch. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, think about it, right? You give them your money. They're taking part of your life away. You're getting no benefit. They're getting all the benefit. And you keep giving them your money for what? Right? You're their slave. You're their bitch. And I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. I went home that night, and I'm standing outside my front door because I don't smoke inside my own apartment. And I just had the epiphany. I'm like, I really am R.J. Reynolds' bitch.
Wow, so that's part of my conspiracy.
I'm like, I'm nobody's bitch. I put the cigarette out. Yeah. That was the last cigarette I ever had. I didn't need Chantix. I didn't need nicotine gum. I didn't need, you know, a prescription from my doctor. I didn't need the e-cigarette. I didn't need any of that. What I needed was to change my mind.
Willpower.
Yeah.
To get over that.
Yeah, and whatever it is that Mike, you know, like, I kept hearing his... You know, you're R.J. Reynolds' bitch.
Yeah.
You're R.J. Reynolds' bitch. You're R.J. Reynolds' bitch.
I think, repeating in my head
that whole evening.
Yeah.
But I think that plus you could say, all right, well, you're giving, I don't know, how much is a pack of cigarettes?
$10? Now, like $15.
All right, so 50.
I mean, not in New Hampshire.
All right, so let's just say $10 goes to R.J. Reynolds, but where does $5 go to?
The government.
Yeah, now that's the reason why I thought you were going to quit.
Oh, yeah.
How much money were you giving to the government?
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
See, that's my conspiracy theory.
But, I mean, with any addiction, people need a good enough reason, whether it's sugar, cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why you'll see a lot of women, they will not be able to smoke, like they are addicted. But once they get pregnant, that is, you know, oh, it's someone else's life. And that, I mean, I've seen so many friends that were, you know, hard on drugs and cigarettes and whatever.
Yeah.
And the only thing, the only thing that helped them quit was getting pregnant. And then once they have their baby, you know, like 6 months later, they're smoking again.
They're back on.
I thought that would have changed them.
Not everyone. You know, I had one friend who was doing heroin, like really bad, got pregnant, cleaned herself up, and like that was it. Like changed her life completely. You know, I know a few people like that, but I also know a lot of people where they get pregnant, they quit smoking, and it's so easy. I mean, I don't want to say it's so easy for them, but they're able to do it almost instantly.
Right.
I'm pregnant. The second they find out, I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore.
Right.
But once they give birth, because it's their life now. And obviously we can get into, you know, being a parent and supporting your kids and, you know, possibly dying.
But it is a change of mind at that point, right? Because now their mindset is, oh, I'm two people now.
Yeah.
Instead of just one.
And then once they give birth, it's like, okay, well, this is my body again. I'm at least, at the very least, not pumping something harmful into my child knowingly.
Well, except for secondhand smoke when you're around
your
kids.
Well, and of course.
I grew up on secondhand smoke. I'm okay.
Yeah, we turned out fine.
Are you Steve?
Well,
are you classic? All
right, I grew up on firsthand smoke.
As far as I'm concerned, all you secondhand smokers owe me a half pack of cigarettes.
Oh, got you.
But I didn't give my money. I didn't give my taxes.
Yeah,
to the
for
government.
Free. That's a free half pack of cigarettes.
Right.
Thank you very much.
No money to RJR. No money to the government.
Yeah, and also, I stopped going to convenience stores. Right, because when you're a smoker full time, you're always going to the convenience store for another pack of cigarettes.
Right,
every day.
You're waiting in line, and like in front of you is like, oh, all these candy bars and all this other stuff.
Or you're getting rolling papers, or you're getting, you know,
lottery tickets,
look at that, you know, whatever it is. You're not just getting a pack of cigarettes, unless you're just so poor that's all you got. But constantly going to the convenience store, and you're getting nickeled and dimed all the time. Like, well, if this pack is $10, I got a 20 in my pocket. I guess I can buy this. I can buy that. I can buy the other. I can get a drink. I can get a hot dog. I get some fried chicken, whatever convenience stores have. Right? You know, you pick up stuff other than your cigarettes while you're there. So you spend more than just the pack of cigarettes.
Right. At an inflated price at a convenience store.
Nonetheless, yeah.
And not good quality stuff.
Right. And so all of a sudden, when I quit cigarettes, I was like, I have more money in my wallet now. That's when I became a beer snob. So I could afford better beer, like craft brews and stuff like that. I was like, I'm going to drink better beer from now on, which
a beer case
might not have been the best decision, but yeah, it is what it is. 603-283-6160. We'll talk more about this crackhead politician and what you can do with a Game Boy. Coming up, it's Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. The Republican chair of the House Budget Committee says President Biden's back is against the wall on the debt ceiling. Speaking on ABC's This Week, Texas Congressman Jody Arrington criticized the president for not submitting a proposal and for waiting so long before having talks with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Negotiations will resume on Monday. The mayor of the largest U.S. sanctuary city says immigration reform is a national issue, not a city one. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, a Democrat, says the influx of migrants is putting an undue burden on border cities and sanctuary cities. Three people are dead after a shooting at a lounge in Kansas City, Missouri, early Sunday. In all, five people were shot, according to police. The White House has announced a $375 million military aid package for Ukraine. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Weird turn. Not sure where that came from. It is Free Talk Live, in case you were wondering. Like, why didn't they say, and we're back? They all say, and we're back. Well, I guess last Sunday we didn't. We said, and your mother. A whole bunch. That mother. Was fun.
And we're cats.
And we're cats. Yeah. All right. Well, at any rate, the telephone number, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's...
Nikki.
And Steve Classic.
And
Captain.
And the Captain.
Right. Right, the authentic Lord Reverend Doctor Captain.
Kickass.com.
Buckshot.
But
Esquire.
If you will.
There you go.
If you will.
If you will.
Oh,
you.
Man.
All right.
Anyways.
Before we go on with the rest of the show, liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians will all be gathering from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual Fork Fest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, a.k.a. Pork Fest, which sold out in 2022 and looks to sell out in 2023 as well. This year, Pork Fest is occurring before Forkfest is occurring before Porkfest. So immediately following Forkfest will be this huge gathering of libertarians at the same campground. But Forkfest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge and there's no ticket cost, unlike the other festival. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 15th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the Forkfest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms and the Forkfest forum, and you can find links to all of that at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there, forkfest.party.
You know what? I want to say I'm a little disappointed in that live read because it doesn't even mention the second annual mini golf tournament.
We'll have to talk to our copywriters, not copywriters, but copywriters, writers of copy, and see if we can get them to add something to that live read.
I feel like that's pretty important. I mean, that's why I'm going.
The wedding isn't important?
Oh, right, yeah. I still wasn't sure if I was going to show up to that.
I'm disappointed that the bee man, if he's listening, the bee guy, the beekeeper, whatever his...
Oh, yes, yeah, they're not coming.
He pinged me once this year, and I was like, dude, are you coming? Because, you know, we gotta challenge you for the crown, you know? Yeah. Like, you won the first annual mini golf, and... He's like, yeah, we're not going to be there this year. We got another fest to go to or something. So,
lame.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. So we'll just crown a new champion this year. It's fine. We'll get through it. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have, I'm going to butcher your name. Publius, is that it?
Publius. Publius with an S, like Sierra.
Okay. What's
You're
on your mind?
It really fast, too.
Yeah. Hey, well, hypothetical. I got just kind of a thought, and it's been kind of on my mind. Do you guys hang out together, all three of you? Do you ever go out to restaurants or bars?
All the time.
Do you ever have disagreements?
Yeah, like, all the time.
All the time.
Oh, yeah, we had a little disagreement about RFK tonight.
Yeah, we're a fiery bunch.
Okay, cool. Like me and my friends. And my family, too.
First of all, let me just lay the groundwork for you. Libertarians in general, or freedom-minded people, know that they are correct about many things. And they are. And then there's things that, like, when you get down underneath the surface stuff, that they all disagree about. Everybody's got a little bit of a different flavor on, you know, like, I'm more anarchist, and some people are less anarchist, or some people, like, you know, there's little things that we all, and so we really get into it. Like, there are epic discussions, epic, you know, online things in the chat rooms.
Oh,
there's,
yeah.
You know, at the gatherings, there's impromptu debates that happen. I support him. I support him. No, I don't support him at all. And all that kind of stuff. So it happens
all peaceful.
It's all peaceful, but it happens all the time.
Sure. Yeah, cool. Sounds like me and my close relationships. So my question is this. What? If you were out having a discussion and maybe somebody wasn't agreeing, and I'm just going to, I don't know Nikki, but just what would you do if Nikki stood up and said, if you don't see things my way and you don't want to do it my way and you don't agree with me, that is the end of democracy.
Democracy? Democracy?
Well, I'd have to think about that for a minute because, first of all,
I know what I would say.
First of all, I don't think democracy is a good idea, and so ending democracy sounds like a net positive for me.
Yeah.
But Nikki trying to force me to believe and think as she does not sound positive to me. So I'd be a little bit torn because I would love to see the end of democracy as a way to, like, you know, organize and, you know, have society function. But at the same time, I'm not going to let Nikki tell me what to do and how to live my life because I'm me.
I would ask, who are you working for?
Right. I would probably say you need to go jump in a cold lake and wake up. Or
you I might do love ice baths.
You might need to get checked out. Or something. But, you know, the funny thing is, but it's not funny, but a lot of politicians say that now, and I'm not mentioning any names, but it's almost an insult, I think, to Americans. because it's an insulting comment, because I think they think that everybody is so dumb that they will just absolutely believe that and go along with whatever they're saying.
Yeah, it does seem to be a commonly repeated phrase.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what flavor of politician, what colors they're wearing, whether they're with the Bloods or the Crips. I mean, the Republicans or the Democrats.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to matter that, oh, it'll be the end of freedom or the end of democracy or the end of the American way, which is like...
Yeah, I think my suggestion would be, I think it would be funny to do an experiment with like maybe 500 people and say, go say that to your best friends or your family members and watch the expressions on their face or write down the comments and maybe post it. And just throw it out there and say, well, if you don't agree with me and you don't want to do it my way, that's going to be the end of democracy.
That's it.
It's the end. So, it's just something to think about.
Hey.
Thanks for having me on. Good night.
Hey, we appreciate the call. Call us again sometime.
Yeah.
603-283-6160.
Well, we were at dinner tonight. We were talking about RFK. You made a great point about...
Which one?
RFK. Well, he's going to be at Porkfest.
He is.
And you said, well, he doesn't want anyone with guns coming into the event.
The pavilion, right.
The pavilion, yeah. Right. And I thought, well, considering his family history with his uncle and his father, maybe I wouldn't want guns either.
Sure.
But you're at Porkfest.
Right.
Well, I mean, people don't have to go to that particular talk. I guess they're going to close off the pavilion, so...
Yeah, and
I mean, you can choose not to go over there. You can still have a gun everywhere else. And
Which is what I'm going to do. I'm obviously not going to listen to some politician spew his BS.
I wouldn't eat anyways.
Who has no claim to any philosophy remotely connected to libertarianism. The only reason, as I understand it, that he's there is because he said some things about Bitcoin.
So?
That's the only reason he was invited or he's going to be there. It's because he said some things about Bitcoin that like are contrary to the rest of the government stance about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he's going to be there.
That's
not enough for me to go listen to him spew BS about why you should vote for him and blah, blah. Because when he gets in the chair, he's going to be just as psychopathic as everybody else.
I mean, there's very few politicians that I'll simp for, and this dude definitely isn't one of them. It has nothing to do with the fact I actually kind of respect... that, but when he doesn't want to have guns, whatever, I obviously won't go because I will be carrying the whole time.
Right.
But I respect that he, you know, whatever, if people don't want to go to his talk, don't go to his talk, who cares? But the fact that he's a, you know, lizard person politician is the reason why I'm not going to his talk.
Right.
It has nothing to do with any of the other drama.
It would be great, in my opinion, if... you know, whoever arranged for this guy to be speaking at arguably the main stage at Porkfest, right? It would be great, in my opinion, if no one showed up.
It would be hilarious. I just don't know who is paying for it, because I'm assuming someone paid out of their own pocket for this guy and the
security
the
team.
The other guy.
The security team has guns, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's ironic.
Yeah, weird.
What if they believe there's an
The security team can have guns, but there's no danger of the security team turning on?
Yeah.
Weird. They're not staying in a tent.
Yeah.
It just seems like not an appropriate place. I just don't...
It would be different as well, I think, if he was scheduled to debate some libertarian.
Oh, that would be cool.
Right? Or if it was, he wasn't going to give a speech and stump for his campaign, if he was just going to be there trying to learn, like if he was just going to show up, if he got like a hotel room and he just showed up and participated
and
started
like
interacting
we
want to
hear
people,
some ideas
like,
from folks.
That to me would be a way better way for him to go about it than, you know,
politicians aren't humble.
And, you know, gotta have that rock star treatment,
it's
right?
It's the ego.
And so... like, any of those other things should have happened, and they're not happening. There is, as I understand it, there's going to be no debate with libertarians, and this is hearsay, so don't quote me on this, but I heard that there will also be no question and answer. So libertarians can't even ask this guy libertarian questions. And yeah. like how, so what, it's a one-way communication?
It's a one-way conversation.
He's just going to preach to us about why and we should vote for him?
It's just totally not the vibe of Porkfest.
Right.
And obviously, like, it's Porkfest. You can kind of do whatever you want. Like, you know, choose your experience.
Choose your own adventure.
And is he an expert on Bitcoin?
No.
So
doubt it.
He has just said things
laughable.
That some libertarian crypto enthusiasts identify with. Like,
right.
He has taken the opposite stance of most government and said, no, Bitcoin is the future or something along those
right,
lines.
Right, right.
He thinks Bitcoin
so
is
maybe
the future.
So maybe he's just going to talk about that.
Maybe.
But I mean, like, that this is how it is.
But, like, I mean.
And walk around the crowd and shake hands and get some ideas.
Yeah, kiss babies. Yeah.
Me, personally, I've been into Bitcoin longer than this guy has.
Right.
And, like, is he going to really, you know.
Tell anybody anything.
Divulge anything that's real value that I've not heard before or can't go find myself?
But, I mean, he may have some insights.
Just going to talk about how he's going to use government.
How you can contribute to his campaign, which
to regulate
Bitcoin.
It. To, and, right, and how he can get Bitcoin for himself.
Right.
And how he's going to use government
to
safely regulate the cryptocurrency industry.
Yeah, so, and this is what happens. Politicians will say one thing right, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, simping over them. Right.
No,
they're all the same. They're all scumbags.
No,
so the same with Ron DeSantis. He said, like, two things that people were like, oh, he's a freedom guy. He's not a freedom guy.
No. Make America great again.
Again.
Yeah, like, wait.
Again.
Hold on. I'm 50, and I'm trying to remember when America was great.
Probably when it was inhabited by the Native Americans.
Before I was born, at least. So.
Well, I don't know if America was great, but when you were a kid growing up, it was kind of great. Like, everything was great.
I did go to a theme park in Gurnee, Illinois, repeatedly, called Great America.
Oh, is that what they're talking about?
Maybe what he meant was, let's all go to a roller coaster.
Let's make America Great America.
Let's all go to Great America again.
I'll go to
Make
America,
New Hampshire.
Field trip.
Right.
Let's all get on the bus. Do you have your permission slip?
No.
That reminds me. I went on a field trip in school in, had to have been eighth grade. And this was right around the dawn of heavy marketing for non-alcoholic beer.
O'Doul's.
Yeah. It wasn't O'Doul's. It was some other brand. I can't remember the brand.
Near beer?
But it was non-alcoholic beer. Also bought a bottle of the sparkling water that looks like champagne. It's the champagne bottle.
Champagne?
But it's not champagne. There's no alcohol, and it's just basically fruit juice with bubbles.
But do you still
I bought
Martinelli's or something? Sparkling something.
I bought a six-pack of non-alcoholic beer and a bottle of non-alcoholic sparkling, and I took it on the bus to the field trip that we were going on. And I got it taken away from me. And I got reprimanded for it.
No alcohol.
Why?
No alcohol.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think
you can't bring beer on it. It's like, it's not beer. It's not alcohol.
Yeah, it's like, look at it. It says 0% alcohol, yeah, idiot. Right. But I think you do have to be 21 to buy O'Doul's.
Really?
Yeah, you do.
Wow.
I did not at the time.
Yeah. So I mean, laws might have changed.
Yeah, I'm old.
But last time I was a bartender, we would card people for O'Doul's, and it's kind of like...
To be in a bar, you have to be 21.
No, even to purchase the O'Doul's. Like, if you're sitting at, like, a table in a restaurant, and you're like, oh, can I get an O'Doul's? You have to be technically 21 years old.
Wow.
I don't know why. Maybe there's, like, a small amount of alcohol in it.
There is a tiny bit of alcohol in it. It's true, but there's no more alcohol in it than is in, like, a piece of candy.
Yeah, right, exactly, kind of yeah.
I will say that one of my relatives growing up was diabetic and could not drink the alcohol, but still liked beer.
Yeah.
And would over-purchase, like, different brands to try them, right? They'd mm-hmm. I'll buy a 12-pack of this, see how I like it. Oh, I don't like it. What non-alcoholic beer is good for is marinating meat.
Oh, Okay.
Right? You don't need the alcohol in the beer to marinate the meat. So if you want to, you know, simmer some sausages in the beer, like bratwurst, for example, or if you want to tenderize some pork chops, you put them in a Ziploc, pour some non-alcoholic beer in there, along with some, you know, I don't know, teriyaki sauce or some soy or something, some seasonings if you want to, throw some garlic in there, let it sit in your fridge overnight, and then make that steak the next day or that pork chop the next day, and it'll be delicious.
Is it better than alcoholic beer?
No.
Okay. Well, so wouldn't you just use...
Well, you could, but I'm just saying, like, here was an unused, you know, source of non-alcoholic beer, which I totally wasn't going to drink because, let's face it, I was in it to get drunk.
Yeah, let's do something with it. Yeah, I get you. But, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Here's a resource that I can use for cooking that's not going to waste perfectly good beer that'll get you drunk.
Yeah, cool.
You know, beer can chicken, it's good for.
Yeah.
If you've never made beer can chicken, it's awesome. I don't know.
Well, I brought this up on the magic rectangle here. It says federal law classifies beverages under 0.5% alcohol as non-alcoholic. So O'Doul's has 0.4% alcohol. Many states pose no restrictions on the purchase of those beverages, but some do, as do some counties or cities within states that would otherwise legally allow it.
Okay. So that's a Massachusetts thing, then.
Well, it's probably other states, sure.
O'Doul's doesn't fall on the register of beverages with more than 0.5%, so it's kids can drink it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know why you would drink beer if it doesn't do anything.
Why don't you get a better drink, you know?
Right.
Especially O'Doul's. Like, O'Doul's isn't even good. Yeah.
Yeah, again... I found a great use for it.
Yeah.
It's cooking. If you have a recipe that calls for, you know, soaking something in beer or whatever, why, that's where you need to go. You need to use it for cooking. I have something I'm trying to accomplish.
You're a real rebel on that field trip.
I'm not really sure what's going on here. But, yeah, I mean, like... Did I do it to be cool? Yeah, I did. I was like, hey, everybody, check it out.
See what I can get away with.
I got non-alcoholic beer. Let's party in the back of the bus, right? You know? And that's what we were doing, too. Yeah. Like, here, Bill, I don't know what the kid's name is. But, like, you know, he's like, you know, and then here comes the
chaperone.
Here comes the chaperone.
Fun, please. Wee-oo, wee-oo, wee-oo.
Taking away the fun. Yeah. So, what were we talking about?
Crackhead politicians. I think we need that one.
No. We wanted to talk about this real quick. The Game Boy. This is from Bitcoin.com. Game Boy owner. Remember the Game Boy? Little handheld thing?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I love Game Boys.
Yeah, I don't know what the new ones are.
The Switch.
The Switch, yeah. Thank you. Game Boy is old school, OG, handheld gaming at its finest. Game Boy owners can soon convert iconic devices into secure hardware wallets. In the near future, Game Boy owners will have the opportunity to convert their devices into a hardware wallet for cryptocurrencies. The project, known as Game Wallet, was unveiled by Joseph Scherizzi, a developer hailing from Kype, a Web3 startup, KEYP. By employing a physical cartridge, this innovation enables users to harness the power of their Nintendo Game Boy device as a secure cold storage wallet for crypto assets. I think that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Giving a new purpose to an old device that there's probably a bazillion of them laying around doing jack, right? No purpose. Yeah. Nobody's playing them. You know, to give a device like that. And also, I want to see the interface. I want to see the screen on the Game Boy. Like, well, how does it look?
Press the buttons.
Is it the old Game Boy font? Did they go, you know, did they keep it within the, or is it new? Is it refreshed?
Yeah.
Did they do something to, you know, sort of make the graphics appear different?
I don't think they'd be able to with the graphics. Because a lot of that has to do with, like, the actual composition of the screen, right? So, I don't know if it would be able to.
You know, I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't be able to, like, come up to, like, modern specs on it, but, you know...
Well, it's black and white.
It would be neat to me if they were able to sort of keep the nostalgia going with the screen presentation, with the UI that they put in it. There's a quote here that says, "So we're producing a real physical cartridge that lets you use your Game Boy as a cold storage wallet, generate mnemonic phrases, and save them securely offline." Scherizzi tweeted. No firmware updates ever. That's a feature.
Sold.
Yeah. Anybody got a Game Boy?
I do not, but I'm going to go on some site here and see what they're going for.
Randomness for generating the keys is introduced by the player as they walk around the world and complete fun requests RPG style.
It's a real game?
That's what it says. Randomness for generating the keys is introduced by the player as they walk around the world and complete fun quests RPG style.
Oh, that's awesome.
They have a screenshot here of, you know, the little players in, like, what looks like a forest. It says, I can generate you a new seed phrase. So it does look nostalgic. It's got the old school font and all that kind of stuff. And the, you know, terrible graphics, the 8-bit graphics.
Yeah.
So it looks like you can get one of these bad boys for, like, $100.
Yeah, I see $139, $119.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's, like, the cost of a new hardware wallet.
Yeah, but this is cool.
Okay. What happens when it cracks?
And then you also have to buy the cartridge on top of it.
I mean, I suppose if you already have one, it's pretty cool.
If you already have one, that'd be best.
I'd probably go with a Razer.
I mean, I would buy one just to play it normally, just for nostalgic purposes, to be honest.
And then just check out how much Bitcoin you get. Okay, great. Yeah. Now put Donkey Kong back in. Oh, Mario Brothers, Bitcoin. Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, Bitcoin.
Would you rename it Coin Boy?
Coin Boy?
Game Coin?
Game Coin?
Maybe Game Coin.
Oregano Ho?
It's Ida Horrigan, okay?
Ida Horrigan, I'm sorry.
Back in April of 1989, Nintendo unleashed the 8-bit handheld gaming device known as the Game Boy in Japan. Fast forward to March 2021, and a YouTuber decided to push the boundaries of Game Boy's capabilities and release a video showcasing an audacious feat, mining BTC Bitcoin using the iconic device. I didn't know that.
Mining?
Happened.
Okay, so this mining? Just keeps, like, layers.
Yes, so, however, it quickly became apparent that the Game Boy's humble processing power paled in comparison to today's cutting-edge mining rigs.
You don't say.
Another individual embarked on a similar venture in 2013, developing an NES cryptocurrency miner. Although both mining experiments with Game Boy and NES were intriguing and fun, their practical value paled in comparison to something with actual utility. The Game Wallet Project has even established a dedicated website. Oh, I didn't know that.
Whoa.
Shame on me.
The Game Wallet.
GameWallet.gg. GameWallet.gg. There's a picture of it. It says, turn any Game Boy into secure offline cold wallet. Generate a seed phrase using a hash of your button presses as you walk around and complete quests. The future of digital sovereignty is in your hands, packaged in a truly offline hardware wallet with the certainty of no firmware updates. That is one of the most annoying things about having a hardware wallet is if you go too long without doing a firmware update, you have to do multiple updates.
Yeah. I hate updates.
And that's just such a pain.
Give me a Game Boy. Give me a Game Boy.
We're out of time. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Steve Classic, for joining me here on Free Talk Live tonight. Thank you to all of our callers. And most importantly, you, our listeners. We appreciate you. Thanks and peace.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.